side, and then Caitlin's mother and father. And look what the benefits are. You'll never, I'm just trying to help somebody in here, you'll never be disappointed if you decide to raise your family in Jesus Christ. It will reap the benefits to your children, their children, to their children, to their children. And if God allows you to stay around long enough, you'll be able to see it and witness it and then worship in Christ Jesus, that you'll say, what I thought was a burden, what I thought was hard, turned out to be the greatest thing in the world. Because see, when I first got saved, I had no blueprint. My father and my mother, the only time I ever went to church is when I took myself. I had no blueprint. So when I first started going to church, I thought, man, this is a real sacrifice. And now, when I turn my head and look to the left of me, I see my adult son sitting next to me, and I say, that was no sacrifice. That's God. So come when it's hard, and come when it's easy, and just come. I sat here and thought about this. If everybody who belongs to this church shows up one service, we might be able to fill the church next door on the first day. So let me challenge you with this. Stop being inconsistent. If you belong here, come here. And if you don't, and you don't have to belong to anywhere else, commit and come. Amen? It won't hurt. It'll only benefit you. Have you ever read in the Bible and you say, man, I've got questions? Well, that's the title of the message this morning. Man, I got some questions, Jesus. And I don't think Jesus has a problem with us having some questions sometimes. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17, I'm going to preach two messages. I only preached like 15 minutes last week, so no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to preach two quick messages. Stephen, is that all right? Two quick ones? Stephen says, all right. So I'm good. So if y'all have a problem with me preaching over, y'all talk to Stephen right after church. I just got out of that whooping. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asking him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? It doesn't really matter how you come to Jesus. It is important that you do come, but it matters if you finish well. This young man come running and sliding and kneeling, and he made an impressive entrance to Christ. Some of you will make a great entrance, but not a great exit. I would say this to you, and some of you should say amen right here. It would be better for you to finish well than to start well. Some of you men in particular, I'll speak to you because I am a man. I want to say this. Men often say they're going to do, but they don't finish very well. As this time in our history, we need men who will stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and I will finish well. I will finish as the priest of my home. My children will see me pray. My children will see me read the Bible. They will see me attend church. And they will see me as a godly father. And they will see me as a godly husband. I don't know if you understand this or not. To be a godly husband, you must forgive your wives. You must be the top, the echelon, the beginning, and the top of the one who forgives first. You're supposed to give grace and mercy and love before they ever reciprocate. You are the spiritual leader. Jesus is our spiritual leader. And He gives mercy, love, and forgiveness first. He starts loving us before we're even asking Him to forgive us. Some of you men can say amen at any time. You're probably just speechless. But also, if you have a godly husband and a godly man in your home, you should honor him and thank God for him and support him. And you know what? You should line up beside him and say, I will stand beside you and be a helpmate and a friend. Because that's what God sent you here for, to be a helpmate and a friend. Men, once again, do not forsake your help and do not forsake your friend. Just because she came alongside you to help you doesn't mean you stop. just because she's an A-type personality and speaks more than you, that doesn't take and prevent you from being the leader spiritually of your household. You still must say, it is my job. I didn't know I was going to preach that part, so that's of the Lord. Verse 18, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. God is the only good thing in your life. The only good thing of this world is God. If you don't find God, you'll never find anything good. It will seem good for a little while, but then it'll disappear, or it'll end, or it'll lie to you this whole life, and you'll end. You'll end up in eternity in a place called hell, and it'll be deceptive. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his soul? Nothing. Verse 19. This God really pricked my heart this morning with this last part of this message, and that's why I saved it for a second ago, because I almost went there, but God said there's scripture for it. Thou knowest the commandments. Notice this. Jesus used the commandments on a man who said that he was good enough to get into heaven or wanted to know what he would do to inherit it. So God goes to the commandments. So the commandments are a good place to go to find out whether you're in faith or not. And if you find yourself and you examine yourself and you don't find yourself in faith, it's simple. You need to ask for the free gift of salvation and accept it. Amen? The commandments, the law is a schoolmaster. It shows you you need Jesus. And when you find out you need him, you ask for him. Verse 19, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. I wasn't going to preach on that, but do I need to? Adultery is sex outside of marriage, period. And there is only one marriage. It's between man and a woman. So if you're committing sex outside of marriage in any form, fashion, or way, it is adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal in any way. Do not steal. Do not be deceptive in your work practices, in the way you live. Do not steal, period. Do not bear false witness. That means do not lie. Not even when it's going to be good for you to lie. Whew. Do we need to have an altar call now? Because sometimes we'll say, well, we can't tell the truth because of the truth. No, the truth will only cause you to be free. We don't go out of our way to hurt anybody, but if somebody asks you for the truth, you must give it to them. Defraud not. Here's the place where God really wanted me to preach from, and I don't know why at this point in the message. Honor thy father and thy mother. We probably need to really have an altar call for this. And maybe I'll mention it when we do have altar call. I love when I read that it says, honor thy mother and thy father, or thy father and thy mother. Do you know what it's lacking right here? It doesn't say good. It doesn't say good. How can you honor a bad mother or a bad father? It's easy. You thank God for allowing them to be the parents that brought you into this world that you could find Jesus Christ, and you're constantly on the inside of your heart and mind trying to find a place of forgiveness for them and love for them. That doesn't mean you let them come and do damage in your life, but you can say, God, thank you for my parents, and I pray for them, and I'll look to reconcile with them no matter what. But I think it's even simpler than that. Some of you young people in this room, you need to start giving honor to your mother and the father of your life that it belongs to them. That means when they tell you something, you obey them. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. But he had a mother and a father, and he obeyed them. All the way up until the day that he started his earthly ministry, he obeyed his mother and father. If Jesus did it, you must. It's honorable before God. It's the only commandment in the Bible that will extend your life. Think about that. If you honor your mother and father, it will extend the days on your life. So what are you doing right now? If you're not honoring your mother and your father, you're shortening your days on the planet. Some of you go, how can I live a long life? Start loving the people that God put in authority over you. And that's a big deal. Because some of you are sitting right here in full rebellion of your parents. And you want to know why God won't deal with you or use you or bless you or send you is because you haven't repented of being a rebellious child. And some of you are older and you need to hear that. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. My gosh, what a good man. I couldn't get through any of those. Failed on every one. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Verse 21, I hope you get this. It says, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Sharing the truth with somebody is absolute love. You don't have to tell everybody what they want to hear. You got to tell them what they need to hear sometimes. If you'll get close to Jesus, he will tell you stuff that will cut you all the way to the bone. But he'll also pour in the healing and allow you to heal better, and you'll be stronger after. He beheld him and he loved him. What's this right here? And he said in him, one thing thou lackest. Some of y'all are going to miss heaven because one big thing or one small thing. Whatever you love more than you love God. Well, that one thing you've got above God. Go thy way and sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor. Oh my God. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross and follow me. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, it will not be by mistake. It won't be by happenstance. Can I preach to you this morning? I want permission to preach into your life right here. Because if you're a Christian, you won't have to tell anybody. You won't have to make a big deal about it. And at your funeral, nobody will have to make up words or dates or times about you. They will say somewhere in their life, they made a profession to Christ. Jesus got a possession of them. And one part in their life, they took up this thing called the cross. They died to themselves that Jesus could use their life to save other people. People who follow Jesus carry their cross. Period. Jesus is followed by those who say, I would rather die to myself that others might receive Christ. God wants to glorify himself through you. But sometimes it will look awful. Did y'all notice in one line of the song, it said, I gave him ashes and he gave me a crown. Did y'all notice that in the song? Do you know what those ashes are? Somebody was probably burnt alive. Would it be worth it? Would it be worth it? If that was you in the pile of ashes that was presented to Christ and say, God, you burnt my life up. And he'd say, yeah, but here's your crown. That pile of ashes would say, it was worth it. I preach this a lot, and I don't mean to be repetitive, but I hope you, when we're going into the kingdom of glory, I hope you don't have to stand in line, and I hope some of you don't get wedged in between Paul and John the Revelator. Hey, man, have you ever thought about that? Some of us, we get upset about our Christian walk sometimes and we complain to God. But what if we get wedged in between Paul? What if Paul's in front of us? And what if we're standing kind of naked before Jesus, right? If Paul was in front of you and you looked at him, you would see that his whole back and the back of his legs all the way down to his heels would be stripped of its flesh. He had been whooped 3 different times with 39 lashes, save one. He got beat on a regular basis for Jesus. One time he got drug outside the city and the whole city stoned him with stones. This man that would be standing in front of you would probably be bow-legged and wobbly, and you would look at him and go, man, I complained about air conditioning, pews, long services, and things that I didn't get. So you would go, you know what? I know what I'll do. I'll just turn around. That way maybe I'll look at somebody else. And what if behind you stands John the Revelator? The youngest of all the apostles, at 15 or 16 years old, converted to Christianity, believed in Jesus Christ, and followed him to the end of his life. And some of you will say, yeah, but John the Revelator, he lived a whole lot. He didn't die by being martyred. Yeah, but not for a lack of trying. Because at the end of his life, they took him and they threw him in a pot of oil and boiled him alive, but he wouldn't die. Some of y'all are going to be eyes wide open when you come into glory, because you're going to turn around and you're looking at a man who you probably couldn't even physically recognize because his skin was melted off his body. And we sometimes go, Lord, it's hard to be a Christian. No, here's what I want to say to you. It's hard to be a halfway Christian. Yeah. If you'll get fully sold out to Christ, he'll take you to the hardest times. And the harder times you get into, the more presence he'll be present. And you'll be sitting there going, I know this is really hard and crazy and I should be scared, but there's Jesus right there, so where else would I go? Do you still have questions? I've got plenty. And he was sad that he, at the saying, verse 22, and he went away grieved and he had great possessions. He had to walk away. And Jesus let him walk away. Ain't that amazing? When I read those scriptures, I'm going, why would Jesus let him go away? We don't let anybody go away at the church. Sorry. Especially the ones who don't like him or don't want him. Verse 23, and Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? You know what he was saying? He said, this guy right here has made riches his God because his money was able to take the places of God, and it never can. Don't fall in love with your riches. And some of y'all are sitting here right now going, man, I'm scot-free. I'm good. I got no money. We're the richest people in the world. You ate this morning, you clothed this morning, you got a roof over your house, you probably are not worried about where your next meal's coming from. You're rich. There's people in this world would beg for what you have. And if God told you to give all that away for him, you would probably have a hard time saying, God, I don't want to give up my clothes, my house, and my food for you. As he walked away, verse 24 is where the real message starts, the second part of the message, because this is where, this is me. I was like, nah, this would be me. And the disciples were astonished by his word, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Don't let your riches keep you out of the kingdom of God. Use your riches or your money or your wealth or the things that you are given to glorify and save people alive. Use them as a tool for the kingdom of God. Do not use them for a tool to keep yourself well, because they won't. Verse 26, this is me. And they were astonished at out of a measure, saying among themselves, who can be saved? Good question. They all knew they were in trouble. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Verse 27 should be a life verse for you. Everything's possible with God. God can get anybody into the kingdom of God. God can save anybody. God can push anybody through the eye of the needle. He could push a camel through the eye of the needle if it needs to get into heaven. What's this right here, verse 28? And Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left and left all and followed thee. That's where I would have been. I'm being honest. Peter's good. This is the second message, Heidi. The second one. The second message. Thank God we made it to the second one. Here's the second message. Peter goes, well, what about us? We've gave it all away. Would y'all ask that? We wouldn't do that in church, would we? But Peter did. I mean, I like the apostles, because every once in a while they're just like, hey, wait a minute. We left everything. We dropped our business at a dime. We left our families at a dime. And God, he's got a sweet answer. Y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Some of you mature Christians in here, this should be like honey on your bread this morning. It should be honey and butter on your bread. You should be sitting there going, praise God. The first message was some people that need to be saved. The second message is me. Amen? I wouldn't mind seeing some of y'all cut a lap through here. So what do you mean cut a lap? I mean run a little. But you're not going to. They said, we have left all. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left. There's no man that's left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands for my sake and the gospel's. God takes good record. He knows what you left. He knows what you gave up to follow him. Praise God. Man, y'all, it's okay. We're in here together. We love each other, I hope. And for the gospel, it's all about the gospel. But he shall receive 100-fold. Whoa, what? But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions. Well, I don't like that one. And the word and the world to come, eternal life. Did y'all get that? Is there anybody in here got a brother or sister now that you didn't have before you got saved? Man, I've got brothers and sisters in faith. Amen? I've got brothers and sisters. I don't come from a big family. I come from a small family. I come from a family that rarely wanted to see each other and didn't care. It would be months on end before we'd even call each other or text each other. Now I've got friends, not just friends, but I got brothers and sisters in Christ that, praise God, they talk to me all the time. I found it strange. But I love it. But I love it, man. I love it. I talk to my brothers and sisters on a regular basis. In faith. And then I got parents in the faith. And grandparents in the faith. The people who love me. Amen? And if you don't know what that is, you really hadn't got saved yet, and you ain't got sewed in yet, because when you get saved and you get sewed in, all of a sudden you're looking, you're saying, wait a minute, I'm not walking alone. I'm not going by myself. Everything that I gave up, that was worldly. That was of this world. God can do better than that. Your mothers, your fathers, your brothers, your sisters, the ones that will join you, will never leave you. They will never forsake you, and they will pray for you and love you and give you truth. Amen. And then one sweet day, you all walk into a place called heaven together.
Amen.
Whoo!
Amen.
And all your spiritual mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles will all be there. I want my worldly people to get into heaven. But God told me, it ain't going to be your family that gets into heaven. It's going to be mine. It's going to be mine. You tell them. You share it, but look around you and realize, my God, everything you need, God has supplied. You ain't never gave up anything that God won't meet the need. Amen? Let's all stand as they come get a song of worship. Susie, go that way. I'm going to go this way.